Hey y'all, it's Bree Bagwell with your Only Vans Breecap. And in this very special live episode from Music Fest's 40th anniversary in Steamboat, Colorado. By the way, thanks again, John Dixon and crew. I chit-chat with my friend Josh Ward, who I've known forever. As much as we try to talk about how much I love his new record, we veer off topic quite frequently, although we do end up giving some much-needed love to the album Same Old Cowboy, Different Rodeo, along with all the great musicians involved, and of course, shout out the amazing Rosewood Studios in Tyler, Texas. We discuss the talkback mic, which, in case you don't know, that's the microphone on stage where the singer or band can talk to the rest of the band without the audience hearing them. It's a very honest and real conversation because Josh is very honest and real, and he's been a true friend to me throughout the years by treating me as an equal and telling me to toughen up when I needed it. If there's one person who knows toughness, it's Josh Ward. I'm so proud of everything he's done and proud we're both still at it after playing a barbecue joint together on Wednesdays for 3 hours back in 2010. We gush over each other a little bit, but that's because we've been through the trenches together this whole time. Anyway, head to joshwardmusic.com for tour dates, merch, and music. And if you can watch the video of this episode, please do, because his body language and our facial expressions just make me so happy. Thanks, Josh. You're the best. Enjoy. Hey, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell. I want to invite you to join me August 12th through 16th in Red River, New Mexico for 8750 Music Festival. This boutique festival features 4 days and 4 nights of outstanding musical performances across 5 venues and includes a barbecue cook-off and a red and a green chili cook-off. 3 day passes are on sale now, and your ticket gets you into every show of the festival and includes 2 free meals. You can get tickets, sign up to compete in the cook-off, and learn more at 8750festival.com. That's 8750festival.com. And use coupon OnlyVans. That's OnlyVans, all caps, no space at checkout to get $10 off your 3 day pass. 8750 Festival, adjust your altitude. By the way, me and producer Kyle, we're both playing at the festival, so you can come see us there.
I have had those hard talks on the monitor whistle where somebody goes over there and goes, hey, fix your face.
Like my face. Could you imagine if one of my band members told me to fix my face?
Well, she didn't tell me in the words.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Check 1, 2. How are we doing out there? Thanks for coming. You guys are the only people that are not choosing Zach Top. And we appreciate it. It's also like 16 degrees out there. So to me, this is a better choice. But and also, one of my favorite country singers is here talking to me today. One of my good friends. And I think I need to tell a little bit more of a background about this podcast, because yesterday people didn't really know. If you have not listened to my podcast, it's mostly chit-chatting. It's mostly, you know, banter between two friends. And I was thinking about this podcast today and what I was going to say. And doing this podcast is one of the easiest things that I ever do. And it's really a joy of my life, mostly because my producer, Kyle, does all the work. So I don't really have to do anything except talk and get my friends to be on the podcast. But I was like, oh my gosh, Josh Ward, I have all these things to talk about. And we immediately started talking about our history. And then I said, we got to stop. We got to save it for the podcast, because I don't want to spoil it even for myself, because revisiting my history as a singer and how I've come to be where I am now, I've been surrounded by amazing people my whole life. And I've been very, very, very lucky that one of those people was Josh Ward. From the day that I started playing music, we started playing shows together. So I don't want to ruin too much about it. But the last thing I want to say about this man is I think of him often because I sleep in my eyelashes when I'm too lazy to wipe them off. And some days I wake up with one eyelash on this eyebrow and I look like a country singer that's been through a car wash. Like, it's not a good thing, but I always, when I go in the mirror, I go, watching you wake up with last night's makeup. And I do it all the time, and he doesn't even know. I've never even told him that story. So would you make a warm welcome for one of my favorite people in the world, Mr. Josh Ward, is here joining me today on the Only Vans podcast. Hi.
Get saddled up on this slick seat with these starch jeans. How are y'all?
Wait. How much starch? What? When you drop them off, are you like a medium starch?
No, heavy. That way they last you about a week.
How many days can you...
They start getting comfortable around 4.
These are things that girls don't have to deal with. I've never, ever starched anything in my life. How much do your eyelashes cost?
I don't get mine done.
You have really nice eyelashes, Joshua. Now that I'm complimenting you for the first time about your eyelashes. In 15 years that we've been friends, Joshua and I used to play a barbecue restaurant in Montgomery, Texas for 3 hours.
Oh, yeah. The old 3-hour sets.
3-hour sets. It's so funny to hear people be like, I'm not playing 3 hours. Like, that's crazy. I'm like, oh, me and Josh Ward played 3 hours. And they're like, what? Mm-hmm. I said, every Wednesday. We played 3 hours at Kirby's Barbecue.
Kirby's Barbecue in Montgomery. And we might have played to, heck, maybe 10 somehow.
We kind of tried to out Merle Haggard one another. And that's one of my favorite stories that I tell all the time is that we were on this booking agency together, and our booking agent, Nick, who I don't know if he's here, he's probably going to be at some point, but he wanted us all to bond. And so he was like, y'all go play songs together. So it was like me, Josh Ward, Cody Johnson, Jody Booth, and we're all sitting in a circle. And Josh Ward was like, we're going to play Merle Taylor Hurl. And I was like, what's that? And I was like, that sounds fun. It's where you play. Wait, you want to tell him what it is?
This is all I got to say is Bree can sing Merle Haggard better than anybody.
That's so, oh my, and, I'm pass out.
And it was. I mean, we showed up and we said, hey, girl, we're going to play Merle T. Hurl. She's like, all right, sounds fun. Well, she started singing. And me and the boys were like, that's good. Now we got to follow that.
Well, Merle Taylor Hurl is where you play Merle Haggard songs in a circle till someone throws up.
Yeah.
That's why it has the name that it does. And, well, there's also, you know, you play songs and you drink whiskey in a circle until someone... And I tell that story all the time, and it was, you know, we were very lucky to have that group of people that we did have in our first booking agency. And Jody Booth is one of our best mutual friends. And I remember him telling me about how he called you, he made you sing for the first time in public. That's at least his story.
Yeah. Me and Jody, we didn't grow up together. You know, we're brothers, you know, but we didn't grow up together. He was playing a little bar up there in Onalaska, Texas. I don't know if y'all know where that's at, but a little place called the Anchor Club. And it's where you had to, the roaches would help you load in your equipment. And then you fought your way back down the stairs that night, especially if you played empty glass. But Jody was doing an acoustic show there. And I was standing at the bar and singing That's Just Jesse. It was on the deal. And he goes, man, you sing pretty good. You want to get up there and sing one? Yeah, I sing a little bit. And I got up there and played That's Just Jesse, and Jody's like, I hate you. So that was way back, you know, well before, heck, I started my own band. That was, I think I was playing with Rhonda Henderson and Private Stock in a band called Southern Breeze. And they fired me. I told you that. Mm-hmm. I was the youngest guy in the band. And, you know, we went around, we played Merle Haggard, George Jones, you name it. And we played all the VFW halls, the Elks Lodge, and man, I thought I was doing good. I was getting to sing Merle Haggard and George Jones every night. And they came to me one day and they said, son, we're going to have to fire you. And I said, well, why? And they said, you're too damn good. You need to go somewhere else and start your own thing. And I didn't know how to take that at first. I was like, well, I'm having fun, man. I'm getting to run up and down the road with you guys and sing the songs that I love. They're like, no, you got something else. So I did. I quit and made the plunge about a month later. Quit a good oil field job and dove headfirst off into playing music for a living. And that was 20 years ago.
I was going to say, what year was that? I was
later in 2000. I can't even remember. I know. I think it was 2000.
Also, I can't stop thinking about if I had a band called Southern Breeze.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, feel like that's a good name for a Bree Bagwell band, like Southern Breeze, like a Southern version of me. Like that's my blues band.
Yeah.
Southern Breeze.
Yeah.
I love that. But did you not like grow up singing? I feel bad. I don't even
know
this
about singing in church choir. Mm. About 4 years old, my grandmother put me in the choir, and I was raised in the church house. I was there Sundays twice, the Wednesdays too, prayer meeting, you name it. I showed up, and I think they thought it was cute because they dressed us up in these little Christmas outfits and made us get up there and sing. I'm just joking. I was a sponge from a very young age of music, and I don't know why. Honest to God, I don't, but I related to a lot of the country songs, man. That was, and in a young age, I couldn't say relate to it, but there was something that I felt when I heard those songs. They move you. Music is powerful. No matter if you're, you know, 16 years old, standing in front of your mirror trying to imitate Tracy Lawrence, you know, Sticks and Stones record, because that's what was hot then. Mm-hmm. You know, going to bed every night with my Walkmans on. I soaked it up, every bit of it that I could, and, you know, never thought that music would ever be anything. You know, I was a kid, yeah, I would play my guitar at rodeos whenever we were on the road, and, you know, high school, I brought it to school every once in a while and played it outside, but, you know, I didn't know that music was going to take me where it has. So, but yes, very young age, I think music chose me.
I agree with that. And I also, my parents weren't, every time I'd play or sing, they weren't like, wow, this is special. You know, sometimes you meet parents with their kids like, listen, she's playing and singing. And it's like, everyone in my family kind of just did it. So it wasn't that they didn't think I was good or anything. It just, everyone played and everyone sang, and it was just how it was. And that is such a weird place to be when there's these young girls coming up, I think, and their mom is like really forcing that. I was never forced to do it. And sometimes I'm kind of like, don't do that. Because I think there's so much beauty in coming into music at your own time when you're like ready to do it. Or when Jody Booth makes you or your band fires you because you're too good of a singer. I mean, like letting it happen at its own time is, and I agree with that. I listen to all those old, and I would just play my cassettes and play. I had a little vinyl player, and I would just over and over. And like, you love it from a young age. And there's so many people here that, as fans, they just love music and they don't get the opportunity to do it like we do. Mm-hmm. And I can't even imagine, you know, you and I having getting to do what we do is such a beautiful and hard thing. And that is, these kinds of festivals are such a reminder of how people can be such big music fans, but they never get to do it professionally, but they're still here supporting it. I don't know. It's a weird thing. We are very, very lucky. It's a very hard life. You and I both know. You tour so much. I tour so much. Touring is hard, but it's a beautiful life. But I love talking to you because you're a road dog, and man, It really looks glamorous on the outside. You have a big tour bus. I don't have one of those, but I'm getting closer. I got an RV now. I at least got, you know, some bunks in there. So
I'll tell you, like Kevin Fowler told me years ago, whenever I said, Kevin, I just got to get a bus. He said, stay out of the bus. And now I'm that guy saying, stay out of the bus as long as you can. It's expensive.
How much is that transmission repair versus my transmission? I just paid like $2,300 for my RV, like one of the repairs. And they were like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, that is nothing compared to my Sprinter van. And I can't imagine what it is compared to a bus. It's another zero.
Yeah, I mean, anything. It's triple zeros on the back end of it. I mean, you blow a motor, I mean, that's 30. That's 15 on a transmission. I mean, you know, you got the pro sitting right out here, Mr. Roy. He drives for Roger Krager and the boys, so he knows all about bus breakdowns.
Before COVID, there was a guy named James. James Coven. He's my buddy. And he had, you guys know James, and he had a bus that he would rent to us. And so Randall King and I were splitting the bus time. Yep. And it was Taylor Swift's first bus. And it was so much fun because he just wanted to drive, in his words, he wanted to just drive for someone who didn't party all night. And, was a nice person, and that was apparently me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I'm boring. I want to go to bed and maybe watch like Netflix, and you know, we're not throwing big parties on the bus. So he was driving us around for, I mean, really just cost. And it was the most delightful time of my life, except that I will say, when you have a bus, there's no curfew. You could just stay up all night. I felt like I was getting less sleep because I was like, well, we're driving all night to Midland. And I'm like, I got unlimited alcohol in the cold fridge. Like, a bus is not really the best place for Brie Bagwell to be. I need like a curfew.
even now, you know, years later of being in one and, you know, having that freedom. Oh, man, we're not driving. We got a couple beers in here. We can stay up until Midland. You know, I mean, that. And then you get there and you're like, crap.
I'm tired.
The bus driver's looking at you like you could have laid down, you know.
But then he's like, thanks for keeping me up
last night. You could have slept. So we still do it. I mean, we catch ourselves just conversating and riding these days. You know, the partying and all that stuff, that was back then.
Well, Joshua and I, we saw plenty of sunrises together partying, and I don't, but James, my bus driver, I just love him so much. And he would say he loved Saturday night Brie because I'd always have to try and save my voice. I lose my voice real easy. So Thursday I go to bed, Friday I go to bed, Saturday night, I would sit
Turn
up there.
The
I would sit up there next to him while he drove the bus. And he would open that window and he'd smoke cigarettes and I'd put my feet up there and I'd be just talk. Blah, 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 blah. I'd keep him awake the whole way home. And that, I don't know whether he meant that in a good way or not a good way, but I do have a tiny bone to pick with you about the partying days because I played a bar. I can't remember where it was. I wish my band was here. They would remember. Anyway, I'm sound checking. It's 4 p.m. and the bar owner comes up with a shot. And he gives me a shot at 4 p.m. And I said, hey, I'm not, you know, not really drinking at 4 p.m. anymore. And he goes, well, Josh Ward was here last night. He said you could drink me under the table. So I'm proving it. And I'm like, so I texted Josh Ward. I'm like, please stop telling people I can drink them under the table. That's not what I did. I mean,
you can. Or you could then.
I could. I used to could. we had to. Back in the day, we had to.
I mean, it was Katie bar the door, and it was like open range then. You know, there was about four of us that was doing stuff together, and we had a lot of good times, man. We grew up together.
We did.
You know, grew in the industry, and I wouldn't trade any of it, man.
Same.
It's who makes us who we are today.
Yeah, and there was no Snapchat back then.
So no,
we could get crazy and nobody even knew about it. And I never had makeup on and none of y'all ever cared. And we were just playing songs for the sake of songs. And last night I was back there watching your show and you are just, you're just so good. And I don't forget that you're good. That was really bad. I forgot you were so good. No, I'd never forget that you're good, but you really are, you're a freaking showman, but in a really cool way, in a really classy way, in a really country way. And everyone was kind of really chit-chatting back there. Mm-hmm. Like to me, and I was back there trying to listen, and people were like, hey, with that. And you go, hey, how you guys doing in the back? Y'all paying attention? And I was like, that's my dude. He's like, because you have to shut him, but you do it in a way that's not like offensive. But well, you have a commanding presence. Like,
you know, I learned a long time ago from my grandpa, you can be deliberate, you know, you can be blunt in what you're asking. You just got to ask it in a certain tone. And I ain't that guy that's going to be like, hey, y'all get out of here or whatever. I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
Never have been, but I'll call you out on it in a good way.
It's my favorite thing. I had a guy come to a show and he said something really bad to my face and I didn't like it. And then he said it again. And I had forgot about this. I was with Rachel, my old tour manager today. She reminded me of the story. And this guy said it again. And Josh Ward said, because I was opening for you at Silver Saloon in Terrell. And Josh Ward was like, kick him out. And I was like, what? Here comes security. And you got him kicked out for me. That was like the nicest thing. But it wasn't like, I'm going to beat him up and beat it. But you were like, hey, get him out of here. And you just kicked this disrespectful man out of a show for me. And I was like, I can do anything now. It was, do you remember that? Mm-hmm. This is the person, but also how many times have I called you where you're like, you don't feel sorry for me as much as you're not like, oh, poor Bree, you tell me, pull your.
Yeah. I never treated you like a girl. I mean, and I say that, you know, She was only that gun female and a bunch of dudes that you had to hold your own. And I told you, when you say that, it's because you see something in somebody. You see that drive. I want this. I want this more than you do.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell. Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays and my whole family was like obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellenbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma, side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly. Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Bree and Whiskey sent you.
And there were times to where you were like, man, I want it, but I'm struggling. I don't know how. And it's like, Bree, just toughen up. This is the only way that you're going to get through this. You're fighting a battle against everyone in this industry. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and let's go get this shit. And she does. Every night she steps on stage, whether it's with her band or right here. She steps up and she pulls them up and she shows you who Bree Bagwell is.
Okay, well, that's too much. I'm going to cry now.
Hey, we talked about 30 seconds. That was longer than 30 seconds.
Today, Josh was at my radio interview with Eric Raines, and he said, now that you're an interviewer, what do you think about interviews? And I said, God, I get really frustrated when you ask a question that you think is going to be a long bantering conversation, and they answer it in less than 30 seconds. And so Josh said, he's going to pull out his timer. And
I was going to go
beep, 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 or just answer the first three questions with like, no, yes, which actually would kind of like from you, it would maybe go over really well. If I could just ask
that
you,
that is me, hon. You know that. I'm going to answer it. Yep.
Yep.
Sure was. Nope. I mean, you know, but.
Well, I appreciate you've been going over 30 seconds for all of your answers. And now we have to pivot before I start crying, because that one nearly got me. One more champagne, I would have been sobbing up here. But we got to talk about your new record, because it's so very much Josh Ward. I think this is such a Josh Ward record. And I don't know. I mean, I just feel, because I know you, that you're very involved in the sound of your records and the songs and everything. But like, you have to be very proud of this last one, right? Do you love it as much as we all love it?
You know, this one was a long time coming. And a lot of things happened within that record, the time frame of putting that record out. And, I tell everybody that record, it almost didn't come out. I shouldn't be sitting here on this stool with you today.
What do you mean? Well, you don't have to say what you mean, but
When
I just said, what do you mean? You don't have to say what you mean, but what do you mean? I'm just kidding.
4 years ago, I got in a pretty bad wreck. And the doctor told me that he was like, man, I don't know, because I was chomping at the bit the day after they pulled me out of surgery. I was like, when can I get back on the road? I got to get back on the road. My band needs to eat. Their family's got to eat. I got to eat. Like, let's go back to work. And he goes, dude, like, who are you? And I'm like, I play music for a living. And that's all that I wanted to do. And he said, I don't know if you're going to go back to playing. I don't know if you're ever going to swing your leg over the back of a horse again. And there I was, laying there in a hospital bed, looking at this doctor going, I might not get to go back and do what I love. And it kind of lights a fire underneath you. And I remember telling that doctor, Dr. Evans, he was big old tall guy, A&M graduate, coolest doctor I've ever met, brought me snuff in the hospital room.
That is illegal, I think.
Well, I know, but he was a good doctor. Yeah. But I remember telling him thanks. And he said, what? I said, thanks for telling me everything that I'm not about. I can't, I won't, I don't know how to. I'm not built that way. So I got a gut full of gravel, and we went back out on the road 2 months later.
Hmm. So, dang.
With that record being said, all of those things that happened.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad. And that it's interesting to hear you say things like that, because a lot of the time I think that that's what this podcast is about, is talking about, you know, my identity is being on the road. I don't know anything else to do. And so I took 3 weeks off in November, like on purpose. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't making any money, which is like no fun at all. And then B, I was like, I don't know who I am if I'm not the person on the road. And, I'm trying to tour a little bit less, take a little bit, you know, make more, work less. That's the dream, right? But when I'm home, all I know about being home is that I'm unpacking, repacking, and fixing to do the next thing. So if I'm not doing that, and that's terrifying for me to think about, what if I don't do this anymore? I don't know who I am as a person, which is crazy because I can't be on the road forever. And I definitely can't be at the pace we were all going. Mm-hmm. It's definitely slowed down since COVID. We're not doing what we were. I used to guarantee my band 12 full band shows a month, and mm-hmm. we were always hitting 15. I mean, that's crazy.
That's nuts.
Like, and that was just how it was. Mm-hmm. And then now that we've slowed down, I'm like, well, I like being home mostly because I like my boyfriend in my house.
Yeah, I'm that like too. Yeah.
Isn't it nice when you like your person and you like her? You're like, oh, this isn't so bad being home.
Pretty dang good.
Yeah, I like her too.
She all right.
She all right. She's crying. She's been crying up there. No, you make me cry. Shut your mouth. But it is a different thing. Like, have you noticed that shift in you at all? But I want to be home, but then the second I'm home, I'm like, who am I? Nobody wants me. Nobody wants to book a show for me. And my agent's like, you purposefully blocked this off.
Yeah. You know, the struggles of home and business. She and I both are in the industry. She's on the road with me every week. And, it just doesn't stop there. You know, business is at home too, and she does a damn good job doing it. But you've got to find that part of you that you got to separate from the business just for a little bit. It's not bad business. It's just getting your head right, especially with that one. You understand, you and Paul?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of dynamics that go into having a relationship in the music industry. Is anything, but I'm lucky I get to work with mine.
Yeah.
And yes, I do find myself at home. I got a big old brand new Traeger barbecue pit. That
you have a Traeger?
Well, I got forced into it. It ain't far. But when you get home, it's go 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 go. Play the road. Play the show. Play the show. You get home and you go, you unpack your bag, you wash your clothes on the second day, you repack your bag on the fourth day, then climb back on the road. But somewhere in between that, you've got to find time to go, today is my day. Yes, I'm not getting the numbers that I want on the bookings. I'm not getting this. I'm not getting this. We can look at all of that. You've got to step away from it. It's going to be there when you come back. I promise you it's going to be there. But find one day. Find that balance.
Yeah. Paul's better at it than me.
Yeah. One of you will be that. And I haven't figured out which one is that yet. It was me and Kayla. So.
Paul's better at it than me. But I will say, okay, so I got a Traeger. I got like a drunk QVC'd into a Traeger. And
I don't ever want to leave the house.
So I was like, I'm going to be the Traeger girl. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do all these recipes, whatever. They already have a Traeger girl. And so, but that was like my dream. I was going to be the girl that grills. And then, you know, I can like, oh, come over to my house. I'm just casually grilling. Like, I thought that would be the coolest. Anyway, I do have a Traeger that I have not mastered. And so you need to help me because we have one, but it just kind of sits there.
Well, we live in the same town. Literally 20 minutes from each other. So, yeah, we need to make that.
Where do you hang out in New Braunfels and why do I never see you?
I hang out at my house.
Okay, that's why I don't see you.
The last place that I want to be whenever I'm not playing is in a bar. And I don't say that ugly, but that gum, I've been in them for 20 years, you know? It's like, it's nice to be at home. It's nice to grill on your grill. It's nice to take your kids fishing, go hunting or whatever. But to go to a bar, yeah. Only on date night. How about that? Only on date night.
I love that. Paul and I, especially Paul, we make fun of ourselves because when we go somewhere and it's like, live music tonight, we're like, ugh.
We're like, are you
serious? Gosh, we just want to have a conversation.
And quiet.
We don't need like noise and music and people being loud. But that's very funny because it's what we do. But I totally feel you on that. And I love how you make it work because a lot of times, you know, people talk about you need someone that's your opposite or whatever. It's to me, I found dating someone who does what I do now, it's worked out.
Yep.
But it hasn't worked out. Right. So it's like, you know, you kind of date who you're around. And then if you find somebody that gets what you do, Paul is never jealous. If I'm like, if me and you are drinking whiskey till 3 a.m., he'll be like, that's badass. I love Josh. Tell him hi. Give him a high five. Like, he's not going to be like, who's Josh Ward? And that's so freeing for me. It's like when you have someone who supports what you do, it makes me a better person. Like, I don't want to, I would never do anything wrong to that man because he trusts me. 100%. It's the best. Yeah.
The past year and a half, like, that's what I've figured out. That's, you know, you hit the nail on the head when you said that. When you have someone that you have that trust in, you have that, they get you. That's your person, mm-hmm. You know? It's made it a lot easier for me on the business side of things, even though she's mean to me. Even though she's hard. Hey, that's a hard-nosed son of a gun right there. And you know me. I'm that way, too. But when you get that one that's just like that passion, just like you are giving it back to you, it's either you're going to get it done or you're going to move out of the way. And I choose to stay.
Oh, did you put that in a song? If not, that's our first. You know, Josh Ward and I have never written a song. We've threatened to write a song for 10 years. Like, well, someday we'll.
Well, there it is.
This is the song that we're going to write. And I firmly believe that. And you know what? Even when I fight with Paul, I still am like, he's right. I'm never like, he's an idiot. I'm like, I'm really mad at him, but he's right. I hope he's not here anymore.
I'm going to go out in the garage right now, and you stay in there, because you're right, and I'm wrong, and I need a minute.
You're stubborn like me, Joshua.
Oh, I'm stubborn as mule now, and it took me a minute to go, just stop, because she is right, dang it. Set your pride aside. Like, set it aside and listen to her. It's a great idea. Or it's, you don't need to do this. Why?
Mm-hmm. I create a lot of extra work for myself.
Because I've done it this way all my life.
Yeah.
But it helps.
It doesn't mean that it's right just because we've always done it that way.
Yep.
But, I mean, I think a lot of my stubbornness is probably a lot like your stubbornness, which is we grew up loving the certain type of music and the certain type of way. And then, you know, you think about the people that were the Outlaws, the Willie, the Waylands, that like Nashville didn't like them. And then that's why they were considered outlaws. Mm-hmm. And then they became, you know, these big mainstream hits where it's like, you know, that's how I feel about the music industry right now. It's like, I'm still going to do things my way. I'm digging my heels in. And then hopefully that works out for me in the way that it worked out for my heroes. But if not, at least I'm still doing what I want to be doing.
Which... Well, now you're a cornerstone in this industry. I mean, you are. Eric said it this morning. There's a couple of girls in town that was playing music and then they went off to Nashville. And you did the same thing. You were doing the deal in Nashville, but you always came back.
Yeah.
And you did it. You did it good.
This was supposed to be about you doing things your way. And that's what I mean about this last record is that you really are very true to your sound. And when you go see a Josh Ward show, your band is always great. Your band is always top notch. You always put on a honky tonk show. You hold everyone on your team to a very high standard and it shows. And I think I'm like that too, where this morning I was like, I always want better. I want everyone to be better. I'm always like pushing everyone. And sometimes, you know, my band will be like, are we never good enough for you? And I'm like, no, nothing's ever good enough. But at the same time, I want to not be that person. And I want to just be like, no, everyone is good enough.
I've gotten better over the years. I don't kick trash cans over anymore and that kind of deal. But I am that way. I'll come in there and go, guys, we can do so much better. You know, I know this. I know my guys.
Yeah.
And then I come back and tell them, kind of like that dad that tears your butt up. Hey, man, I love you, you know, but like, let's get it together. And I got to go back in there and apologize to him. Like, listen, I didn't mean to be all that I was trying to get across is we're better than this. Set ourselves to a high standard, set that bar and stay there and make everybody come meet it. Every night, not some nights, every single night. But I also have band members, Chris Loring, Caleb Bacon, that's in the scene with me. So whenever I start getting that kind of complacency, maybe, they're the ones that do the same thing back to me. They push me. They don't push me to the point of overwork or you need to go do this or whatever. They're supportive. There's a difference in that. They're going to go, no, let's get it. Come on, let's go. They're very encouraging. And I don't do it a lot. But yes, there are times that I'm like, dang, God, just everything's going wrong. Okay, let's go in here and play this show. And they remind me really, really quick of the things that I have said over the years, the things that I've preached about. These people waited a week. They waited a month. They made it a year. They might have waited 10 years to see you. Why are you being this way right now? That's coming from them. And not so many words, but it's coming from them going, Josh, you stand up on this pedestal and you preach this every night. Listen to it. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. Thanks. It takes that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I was doing that with Kyle today because sometimes, I mean, I think it was just, you know, one of the shows here, they didn't save our ear scene. Mm-hmm. They gave us packs, but they didn't save our scene. And I got up on stage and I was like really frustrated. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, you work your whole life to have this amazing team around you and to have this amazing band. And when everything goes wrong, it's like, and then, but when I see young people complaining about it, I'm like, oh no, this doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. People are here. They were having a great time. You sounded amazing. You looked amazing. Your band was great. Don't worry about this. But then I'm the first person to be like, and I told Kyle today, I've had great crowds. I've had great shows. And I want to be super like, what a great, but I'm still like, what can we do better? Why does our show feel like it's dipping in the middle? Why am I looking out? And then I'm going to watch, I just watched a show outside people aren't clapping anymore for anybody.
No.
They're just not, they're not in the business of cheering really loud the whole show. They're not in the business of, like, you have to make them be loud, whether you're down here or whether you're up here. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're not having a great time. It's just a different, but that's what I think it is we had the career that spans an interesting point of time. So when you were starting out before social media, and then now you have social media, and we had COVID, and we had, like, there's just been so many things that have happened. The audiences that we're playing for now are not the audiences we used to play for. And I'm still, like, struggling with, like, letting that go. Cause it's not like they're not having a great time. They are having a great time. But I just feel like if people aren't jumping up and standing ovation and falling over and passing out and fainting for me like I'm Elvis, then I'm not good enough. And that's stupid. That's so dumb. People are having a really great time at our shows, and I need to move. Look at my rant. Look at my rant. Just happened. Anyway, I have to say these things out loud because I'm actually processing how I'm feeling in real time. But Kyle, I mean, cut that part out.
But it is. It's not, you know, it's nice to know that, you know, I'm not the only guy that gets in my own head, you know. Mm-hmm. Monitor mix is wrong. Something's going on, and it's like, hey, man, don't shake it off. Shake it off. Don't think about you right now. Think about these people out in front of you. And I have had those hard talks on the monitor whistle where somebody goes over there and goes, hey, fix your face.
Like my face.
Like,
could you imagine if one of my band members told me to fix my face?
Well, she didn't tell me in the words. She walked over to the monitor console, and I see her, and I'm struggling up there, guys. I mean, it's just not right. And I see her. Here she comes. And I was like, She gets over there to front house, and I see him go like this. I'm watching hand signals, and she goes, beelines it.
Oh, no.
To the monitor console. She gets over there to Colin, and she goes, you can kind of see him chattering. I'm like this. And Colin does the same thing. He goes, she walks out, and she goes,
this is the best.
And I went, what? Like, in the microphone, I said, what?
Can we make that your next t-shirt? Fix your face.
Never in my... what I ever thought somebody walked up and said... I mean, we're live right now. I'm not going to say exactly what she said.
I saw your mouth move.
But I did. I was like, wow. It... Obviously, they see it. You know, it's written all over our face. We've all been there before, but it's these conversations here that we're having that makes us go, I'm really going to think about this next time that I'm in that.
Right.
That position, you know, like what you said, we've given these younger kids growing up, and I say kids, they're young.
Yeah.
They're younger than we are, you know, and that little bit of advice is that first thing. I've told him, it don't make a damn what's going on up there on that stage, man. Just give it to him.
Yeah.
Well,
we got to do that too. You're totally right, though.
So bad.
That's the pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Put on your big girl pants. That's what Josh Waters always told me.
Put on your big girl panties. And I'm like, okay.
Well, it was panties. I said pants. I'm for the audience, but you went ahead and went right in there.
That was the white band-aids. It was like, all right, Brie, come on.
Put on your big girl panties. Let's go. And you're right, though. And, you know, people like Cody Jinx is like, you got to put on the same show every night, whether there's people there or not. And it's
5 or 5,000.
Yes. And I try. Boy, that is a piece of advice that I wish I could just really take. And, you know, the other night I had an amazing full listening room of people that cared about me. And I cried 3 times during the set. And
there's
I was like,
no crying in baseball, Brie.
I was like, this is why I do it, though. But so, you know, I always get mad when people are talking. So last night, here, you didn't get it yet. Okay, thank you. There's a hair. Okay. No, you could probably sell that to a creepy fan for a lot of money.
Oh, the feet thing.
Yeah, has anyone ever asked you for feet pictures, Joshua?
Nope.
What's the creepiest fan thing you've ever had to do with? I'm just kidding. You don't have to.
We had one of them come in, and shutter hover round right down in the middle of the dance floor at Lava Cantina, and she said, "I ain't leaving until I see my man." And I was like, "What is going on here?" And obviously it was a fan. Well, I don't even know what to call it, but she shows up and she said, "I'm Josh Ward's girlfriend." And I don't know who this woman is. And Kayla's trying to be, you know,
cordial.
Cordial, yes, ma'am. And she said, "He needs to come out here. I need to see him. That's my man." And she goes, "I'm sorry, ma'am, but he's mine." We almost had to call the law. Well, we did call the law that night. Yeah. That was the third time she's done it. Yeah, Silver Saloon. She locked that hover round down right down in the middle of that dance floor and said, "I ain't going nowhere until I see my man." Yeah, that was...
Oh, no.
That was wild.
That's wild. I had a guy tell the front desk of a hotel that he was my dad, and the hotel gave him a room key to my room. And he went in. Somebody went, we both know.
Bree's big ass hotel room right there. That's what I'd have called it. Gave him the key to your room.
And you know who this person is. And I'll tell you after this podcast is over. But he was like, "I need to, you know, get in. That's my daughter." And they made him a copy of my hotel room key. And I have never lost my mind at a hotel front desk more than that night. Like, I told him, I shouldn't, looking back, I should have sued him. I mean,
exactly.
It's like, I could have been murdered. You just gave this person, we don't even have the same last name. The least you could have done is check his ID and make sure we have the same last name. But the things that people do that, I'm always just appalled at the things that people say. And, we just decided that we're going to get merch t-shirts that say, "Looking tired since 2010, Bree Bagwell," because everybody in my merch line is always like, "You look so tired." Like, I get a lot of "you look tired," like almost every single night. So I'm just going to embrace it and be like, "Tired since 2010, Bree Bagwell." Cause that's what people say, the craziest things. But I feel like you probably, if people said anything offensive to you, you kind of look like you're going to kick their ass. So they probably, do they say weird things to you, or do you get?
No, I don't get too much of it.
I just need to look like Josh Ward. You don't ever get told you look tired?
No, I've been told I look mad sometimes. It's not. I mean, I'm not. I promise you, that's just me. I mean, I'm happy on the inside.
Do you go to merch at the end of the shows?
Every night.
You do?
Every night.
And stay till the last person?
I stay until the last person's gone, even if it's people that's wanting to run you out of the establishment.
Oh, great.
Well, but we fixed that problem, too.
How?
I told them I wasn't going nowhere until I got finished with all my people.
And they were like, you know, at Green Hall, they get really, you got to get out of
there. Oh, I know. The last one was 8 bouncers.
And you told them all?
Hmm?
This person was like, kick him out. And if everyone listens, everyone's like, doo-doo-doo. If I say it, I'm like the crazy person. I think I need to, arms crossed, I need to madden my face, pull my hat down a little and be like, yep, get him out. Is it working? I could have been Josh Warding my whole life. Okay, I'm going to start Josh Warding now.
You do it your own way. You just don't realize it.
No,
you can move mountains, trust me.
If you're a girl, you crazy, or you're a B word if you're not doing
women
it the
are
right
strong,
way.
And I've seen it work. They can get a whole lot more done than I can.
Amen.
And I'll say it, and I'll say it again. Stoney said something about you catch more flies with honey.
Hmm.
I don't have no honey. But she does.
You have a honey.
Yeah, and she'll tell me all the time, I'm like, I'll go handle it. She's like, no, that's why I'm your tour manager. And I'm like, well, I'd still go handle it. She's like, no, this is not what you do. You don't handle things anymore. You climb on stage and you sing. You come home to me, you go deer hunting, you come back home to me, and you climb back on stage and you go play music again. That's what you do. That's what you're allowed to do. And I'm thankful for it. I got a great life. I really do. But in the same sense, being that it's mine, this is my business, that's my person, that's my employee, that's my people. I automatically, when something goes down like that, I'm the one that wants to handle it.
Yeah.
Because it's my face at the end of the day. But when it's your face at the end of the day that winds up in the headlines, well, bad publicity is good publicity too. Yeah. Right?
I just think it all trickles down, right? Like it all trickles down. Like your employees are your representative of yourself.
Yep. And absolutely.
I do want to say that I do love me some Chris Loring.
Yeah,
and that
I
dude
do too.
Has been with you for how long now?
How long?
Oh, no, he's right there. I forgot you were sitting right there.
4 years. And then before that,
I mean, 2008.
Yeah. 2008 is when he and I met, when you were playing with Scooter Brown.
Scooter Brown Band.
Matter of fact, I mean, we all met at Tuts. That's what we all did. We play open mic night every Thursday night in Conroe.
Yep.
And Chris was there. You know, he was a player of the bunch. He was the only one that actually could play. We were hacks. You know, Chris showed up and he's like, he can just jam, you know, and I'm like, yeah, he's a great guitar player. And, you know, years later, I mean, through multiple bands, you and I both, I mean, we've always stayed in contact over the years. And one day he just came to work with me, you know, I mean.
And then he never left.
I don't know how it all kind of went down, but I'm thankful for him every day.
Oh.
Every night that I step on stage, I get to step on it with him. And there's been a few times that I had to go do stuff by myself, which I don't mind doing, but it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's different when you don't get to do it with the one that you're used to doing it with, you know? And I'll always put Chris way up there.
Yeah, except you didn't have a capo last night.
Yeah,
oh,
no. He had to borrow one from
Paul.
I'm
just kidding. That was a joke.
I heard that it got turned over to Vinny or somebody, and it didn't get back to Paul or somebody.
He has it. Okay. Well, I was just going to say that, too, because, like, I didn't know you were here. Now I might not say it. Well, okay. I will just say that my guitar player is one of the reasons that I am still, like, doing the band thing on the road. Like, one person can be the reason that you are having a great time, the person that has a good attitude, the person that's telling you do a good job, the person that brings donuts even when you're trying to diet.
Yep.
Like, that person can really make a difference. And I've had a really, really great band before that I didn't like. And even though we were really great, I would dread going on the road. And I was like, if this is how I feel, I need to quit. Because there's nothing more fun than when you're vibing with your band and you're having a great time. But do you do this? Because I do this. I want them to be the same every night. Like, I want my show to be like clockwork every single night. And so my value in a band is like, I want you to be on time, have a good attitude, play the same things, and like pet my dog. Like, other than that, we're good to go. And I feel a lot of people thrive on being able to be different or change the set or be real fluid or change the tempos or like go faster and slower. And I'm like, nope, I want this, 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 and this. And that's it for me. Like, and I feel a little crazy. Well, I'm asking for validity, I think.
No, you're perfectly fine with everything that you're saying because, I mean,
thank you.
I'm that way too. I mean, I'm critical with it. I like to have a good time. You know, I want the fans to have a good time, but also this is what we do. We're rehearsed. You know, our peers might be standing out in the crowd. You better play.
Yeah.
Like, be good at what you do. Let's be tight. You know, I mean, those guys, they've heard it over the talk back mic for years, you know. I'll get in there and go, hey, let's tighten it up. Like, this isn't good enough for me. And it's not mean. It's picking him up, picking this one up. Push him. Push him because I'm not going to ask you to do something I don't think that you're capable of doing.
Right.
I'm going to ask for greatness out of you every single night because I've seen it before. Show it to me again.
Put it on loop. That's my new alarm clock. I'm just going to record you saying it, and then I'll put it in the talkback mic. So when I tell him to tighten up, it's not my voice. It's Josh Ware going, tighten up. It's because you're capable of doing it. That's a bad job of an accent. I'm sorry. You didn't even talk like that.
There might have been a few choice words other than that on the board tape.
You know, I would love, I've always thought how fun it would be to do like a TikTok of just talkback mic things.
Oh, God. Oh, God, no.
Well,
I mean, yes, it would sell. I know that it would sell and you would kill it, but...
That's our private
time.
Just
make sure that if you're getting any of my talk back for your new project you might want to work on, we're going to have to, like, go through that.
Yeah. I had one where...
Pick and choose.
My wireless mic was cutting out, and they had to run a hard line. They had to run a new mic. And it was, and the band was just playing while they did it. And it was like 6 minutes. I mean, it was just, and I went back to the talk back and I didn't realize that my drummer had his camera there. And I was like, how long does it effing take to run an effing hard line? Da, da, da. And I was just like, and he had that forever. And he would, anytime the band would have tension or whatever, he would just send the video of me losing my mind in the talkback mic. But you know what? I think that's partly why it's there, is for us to like get out what we don't want the audience to see. And I've also heard a lot of bands like talk about like girls in the front row and stuff. Like there ain't none of that going on in my band. Like if you're going in the talkback mic to like chit chat, you're fired. We are not chit chatting in the talkback mic. We're not talking about hot girls. We're not, well, my old bass player, I don't even, you know, Justin, this is the only reason that this is okay. I don't even want to say it. Every time I would bend over, he would go to the talkback mic and be like, it was very funny.
Yes.
And I would just be like on stage, just every time I had to, or I'd shake someone's hand and he would just make it. That's kind of funny, but that's the only reason you can use a talkback mic besides complaining.
Yeah, we had a deal and it was like, you know, everybody's using the talkback's getting used too much. Mm. And, you know, people brought up some points of, you know, the only time that thing should be used is when Josh is having a problem. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess so. Because it was running into when we go into a lead rider, we go into this big moment and someone would get on the talkback and be like, da 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 da. Well, it's in a moment. Don't do it then. You know, so that pretty much got cut. Like, we cut that off right then. Like, don't go over there, not unless you got
something
important.
And at the right time. Mm-hmm. If someone's talking in the talkback mic while I'm speaking, my brain goes, and I start to like glitch like this in front of the audience. Yeah. Like I can't talk and listen at the same time. But apparently they were saying there's a new one that the drummers have where I can have it, right? I can have it in my mic where it goes separate. So I can talk to my band and it can just go only to the band, or the drummer can go only to the band and not to me.
Right.
Like everyone can have their own little things now. We don't have enough channels for that with my current board. But I was like, that's pretty great, because if my drummer can talk to the band and I don't have to hear it, like he doesn't talk unnecessarily, but like, you know, if there is a moment that they want to do that. I love how this has turned into a talkback mic podcast. The audience they're like falling asleep. They're like, we hate this podcast. It's stupid. But actually the people that listen to this are a lot of artists. And so it's good to have these conversations.
Oh, yeah.
And now like time's almost up and we like didn't even talk about your new record. Like the whole point is to promote this new record. Actually, that's not the point of this pod. This podcast has no point.
This is two friends hanging out that ain't seen each other in a while and get to talk about road life.
That's right.
So.
And the new record is really great.
Same old cowboy, different rodeo.
And who produced, where'd you record that at?
Recorded that at Rosewood.
You do all your stuff still at Rosewood?
All of my stuff has been at Rosewood.
Tyler, Texas.
Yep.
East Texas. Rosewood is a really great studio.
Oh, they've had them all through there, from Joe Nichols to soundtracks that were cut for Sylvester Stallone, Jennifer Lopez, Fern Gully. I mean, all of that stuff was right there in little old Tyler, Texas, in a cinder block building.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even know the studio's there. Like, it's literally a cinder block building, no windows. And you walk in there, and I mean, it's been a great experience. I mean, you got guys like Joe Nichols and a lot of the Tyler kids. You know, Kobe Cooper, he's going up cutting a bunch of stuff. So Paul Cawthon, he just released his new record from Rosewood. They're doing great, man. I mean, Greg Hunt was my producer for many, many years until we lost him, and he groomed Drew Hall very well into a fine engineer. And you know, when we lost Greg, I was like, man, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Well, Drew was like, I know that we could put this record out. Like, okay, let's swing for the fences. I trust you. You know, you were groomed by the best. You were a intern when I first started recording here. Wow. And I've watched you grow into an engineer. I've watched you grow into a producer now. And I said, heck yeah, let's swing for the fences. Let's go get it. And I had more in this record as far as my input, my musical input. Usually, write the songs, you know, A-list band, you know, you got the A-team in there with you. Here it is. And we charted out, bam, 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 we start playing. Well, this one, I hit stop on those guys. Hey, can we do this? What about this? These ideas just started coming out of nowhere. And I'm like, I looked at Drew and I said, I know it's my money. I know it's my record. I can have all the say that I want to, but I don't want to step on the producer's toes. I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to get in my own way of it. He goes, no, this record, I want you to give me that information. What's on your mind? And my involvement with it, that was the best experience on a record I've ever done, just because I was involved that much in it. And I've thought about dabbling in the producer side of things. I know that that's kind of what some artists do once they hit a certain point in their career. But I've had a few guys talk to me and like, man, you know, I love the way this record sounded right here. How did y'all get that sound? And I'm like, it was my idea. Like that's, and they were like, well, that's what we want. We want you to come produce this record. And I'm like,
Yeah, but it's learning. I mean, you're exactly how I am. And at first I had no idea what anything was and what, and now I know what, you know, compressors are, or even like what sounds get from different amps, or like if I can say, hey, you know, I remember, like, let's try this in halftime. Let's move it up. Let's try this whole different. Or even if you can just talk to a group of musicians, like this last song I did, I said, I want this to sound like Zorro is riding into the desert. And they were like, got it. And they were like ringing bells. And it was like, darn. And it's like, oh, like it was, they got it because you know how to talk to a group of musicians now. And it's not that at first you're intimidated. I'm still intimidated, but are you okay?
Yeah, I just had a cramp.
We're out of time. But also, it's like at first you're intimidated. I'm still intimidated, but I know that I know what I'm talking about now. Mm-hmm. And I'm confident in that I know what I want and people want to hear what I want. Yeah.
Being confident in what you want, what you want your record to sound like, because you wrote them.
And they want to give that to you. Mm-hmm. Good musicians want to do what you want to
exactly.
do. Exactly. They're not trying to fight you. Good musicians are never arguing with you either. Nope. They're like, great, let's do it.
And if it doesn't stick, hey, man, we tried it. But that whole, what you said a while ago was the involvement in the record. You know, you have something to say. Mm-hmm. The whole Zorro deal. I mean, I did it on this last record. We were cutting Walking in My Boots.
Oh gosh, that's my favorite one on the record. Like that is such a great, like that needs to be my new, like if I was a baseball player, well, we could just put it as our current walk-on. The band's like, you do have a walk-on song. Anyway, continue.
So I wrote that song about Jace, my son, and I told him, I was like, what I want this to sound like is, imagine being saddled up and just blasting out across the pasture, just wind blowing in your hair, wide open on a horse. What does that sound like to you? And that's when they come back to da 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 da, da. And I could see it in my head. I went, that's it.
Yeah.
That is it. And it didn't take them 30 minutes to figure this out. it was, okay, there's your idea. Nate Kuhn, you know, Bryce Long.
All these guys,
you know, Bryce Clark was on guitar.
Bryce Clark.
They just got it. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it, but they just got it. And when it clicked, they started playing, and literally we hit record, and they just played. There was nothing structured about this. It was, let's go in here and just jam this. And we kept that.
That's incredible. That makes me even happier because I do love that one. That's my the one that I wrote down. I haven't even looked at my notes, but that is the one that I wrote down. That was
we don't need notes on this.
We don't need notes on this.
We don't need no notes.
And Josh Ward's pep talks throughout my career have really been a reason that I kept going. I want to thank you for being my friend. And last night I just sat back there as a fan of your show, and I am just such a fan. I think you have such a gift, and your writing and your singing, your delivery, you as a freaking human being. I'm so proud of you. And I really, we could have done this anytime, but I thank you for doing, you know, I know it's a busy day today. And so thanks for taking your time out of your, like, you have a show, right? After this?
I believe so. Yeah. 5:50 we're here.
Okay. Yeah. Come back 5:50 and all the things Josh Ward, keep up. And if you haven't seen a live show, you will never be disappointed in a live Josh Ward show. And if you need someone to get kicked out of your show for calling you a whore, then Josh Ward will do it for you. And, that's not what he said. He said, I looked like a hooker 'cause I had on red lipstick and it offended me. And then you were like, get him out of here. He also was a little touchy feely. And Josh Ward kicked him out of my show. And I'm going to put that on my like when I die, it's going to be one of the top 10 highlights of my life. It's like,
old Captain Kyle said it best. I won't tolerate rude behavior in a man. And yeah, I mean, that was a movie that came off of, but that's the way that I was raised. I mean, I don't know any other way. And when it comes to that, I wouldn't go and let nobody do that to you.
That's a good way to end this podcast. Thank you guys for being here. Everyone, Josh Ward, you're my hero. Well, one of them, one of my biggest ones. I don't tolerate no rude behavior from no man.
It's a worn out heart from one too many goodbyes. Night smoke, driving all night kind of life. It's a baby, I miss you, but I gotta go. Same old cowboy, different road.